Hello, thanks for joining us. I pray that the Lord will use your time watching our service today in a way that will help you grow in your love for Him and your appreciation for God's Word. Third Presbyterian Church has been around for a long time, and it has held to and continues to hold to the truths of the Scriptures, and we hold to the classic historic Christian faith and doctrines. We'd love to have you join us some Sunday in person.
Our new service time is 9:30 a.m.
Well, if you would please, take a Bible and turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. We will look at the whole chapter, all 13 verses. And you can find Daniel chapter 12 on page 750 of the Pew Bible if you'd like to read along with us there. At this time, I will go ahead and dismiss our children, ages 7 and under, with Mrs. Whitaker for the children's Bible lesson, if any of you would like to go downstairs with Miss Whitaker for that. That away. You know, one of the downsides to preaching a theme from the book of the Bible is that you don't always come away with a deep sense of the book itself. Till now, over the last 2 weeks, we have considered the theme of the kingdom of God from the book of Daniel. But today, before the reading and the preaching, I want to give you a deep sense of the book of Daniel itself. You know, I would be remiss if we had a series on Daniel and I didn't leave you with a sense of the book of Daniel itself, either the man Daniel or the book that bears his name. So what I want to do here before we read is I do want to take a minute to impress on you Daniel's story, Daniel's witness, and Daniel's purpose. Because I think if we'll bear those things in mind as we read and consider this final chapter, it will bless us considerably more. So, first, Daniel's story. One thing you must understand when you read the book of Daniel, every time you read it, is that your life and this man Daniel's life intersect at a crucial point. Before you ever pick up this book, you must understand that your life and his life intersect at a crucial point. Both of you are chosen exiles. And now, of course, that means something different for you than it did for Daniel. But nevertheless, both of you are that very thing. You're chosen exiles. Now, in Daniel's case, this is what that looked like. So 605 BC, 605 years before the birth of Jesus of Nazareth in Bethlehem. Daniel is a promising Hebrew teenager. He's a good-looking guy. The book says that. Says he's a good-looking guy. He's good-looking. He's intelligent. He's mature. He's teachable. But the important thing to understand about this young man is that he's thriving. He's thriving with his whole life ahead of him. And he's doing so in his hometown of Jerusalem. That is until 605 BC. Because in that year, the times changed in ways beyond his control. Because there he is, living in his hometown, certainly with hopes and dreams and aspirations of how he's going to live and what he's going to do for the Lord that he loves. And then, as it were, over the hills of Jerusalem comes this dark, deadly cloud. It is the forces of the army of Nebuchadnezzar, an invading army. So on the horizon, moving toward Daniel in his home in Jerusalem, was the army of Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon. And that is the very first thing we read in the book of Daniel. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. They invaded Daniel's home. They occupied Daniel's nation. And they took Daniel away. They took him from his home. They took him to Babylon. And so here's what that means, that this young man's future would be lived far from home. And he and his life would be that of an exile. Okay, but understand this, because this is also a crucial point when you read the book of Daniel. Daniel's exile was God's doing. This is not just something that happened to Daniel in the course of history. This is something that God did. God gave Jerusalem into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. And he also gave with Jerusalem Daniel. God gave Daniel into the hand of this man. So God chose to send Daniel to Babylon. And so Daniel's story is thus the story of a chosen exile. He's chosen by God, just like you are. What's he chosen for? He's chosen to suffer and witness far from his real home. And when the New Testament calls you a chosen exile, that's what it means. You are chosen by God to suffer and witness far from your real home. So Daniel arrives at 17, 18 years old in Babylon, and he soon becomes a courtier. He becomes a member of what we would call the political administration. And for 70 years, that's quite a career, 70 years serves 8 kings, 2 empires. And his public life is marked by 2 things: love for his enemies and witness to the truth. You cannot live well for God as a chosen exile without both of those. You've got to have both. If you're going to be the people of God in a godless world, you've got to have love for your enemies coupled with a witness to the truth. So if you were to read the whole book of Daniel, you would see this beautiful, holy thread that this man's life is marked by a consistent witness. And this is his witness. This is the sum of this man's life's work. There is a God in heaven. He's in a godless world amidst a godless regime, a godless culture, and he dedicates his whole life to saying one thing in many different ways: there is a God in heaven. And this God gives power and knowledge to whom he will. This God delivers the righteous. This God humbles the proud. This God shapes the future. Now, if you read the book of Daniel, that's what you'd find. But one thing that you may not know if you just picked up the book of Daniel is that this man, Daniel, he didn't write the book about himself. This is not an autobiography. This is the work of someone like you. Someone committed to the Lord. Someone looking for help to live for God as a chosen exile. And this is likely a scribe and a teacher of the Hebrew Jewish people, either in Babylon or back in Jerusalem several years later. And he goes into the official archives of Babylon. And he puts together all the official records and documents. And he takes them, all these records and documents about this man, Daniel, and he arranges them into a book, the book that you have in your hand when you pick up Daniel. That's his book. He puts it all together. Now, why does he do this? This is hard work. What made him do this? Why go into Babylon, collect all this material, arrange it about this man, Daniel? This is why. And this is the purpose of the book of Daniel. This is why you read it. This scribe put together this book because he was convinced that the life and witness of Daniel is a model. Here is an example for you to follow. If you're looking for help, here it is. Here's an example for you to follow. Here is how you walk with God as a chosen exile. Here's how you do it. And so it's in that spirit that we want to approach now this final chapter. So that was a long preface to just orient you to Daniel and to his book. And so now we want to enter into this last chapter as we read and hear the Word of God. So would you stand to that end as we hear the Lord's Word from Daniel chapter 12. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream, "How long shall it be till the end of these wonders?" And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, "Oh my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things?" He said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and stand in your allotted place at the end of the days." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Well, let's pray. Father in heaven, in the moments that we have together, would you take these words and would you bless the effort of this dear beloved scribe who believed that he saw something in the life and witness of Daniel worth preserving. And Lord Jesus Christ, you believe that there is something in the life and witness of Daniel worth preserving. Here is a message. Here is a model. And so I pray that you would send forth your Spirit who inspired these words, that he would come and he would preach them and he would teach them and he would minister them as only he can. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what I just read to you is a sermon. And that's wonderful when you find actually a sermon in what you read. Because guess what? I don't have to do much. I just have to preach to you the sermon that's there. But what I just read to you actually is a sermon. Now, it is a sermon to Daniel, which means that it is a sermon to every chosen exile, every person, every church, every community who chooses to align themselves with the living God and finds themselves in a godless world, a godless culture. Here is the sermon that this book preaches. All right, you ready for it? Here it comes. The resurrection is coming. So live wisely. That's the sermon. The resurrection is coming. Fact. So live wisely. Now we will just unpack those two and then we'll be done. The resurrection in the world of Daniel, in the book of Daniel, is a coming moment in time. It's not an abstract idea. It's something that the people of God believe, but when this book talks about the resurrection, it's talking about a date. It's talking about a moment in time. It's talking about a moment that history is headed toward. I mean, if you want to think about it like this, our world, our times, your life, all this has a holy thread wrapped around it. And the Lord Himself is pulling it. It looks like chaos. It's not. The Lord is pulling it. He's pulling history toward this moment. That's reality. It's not chaos. It's the divine will. It's moving toward this moment. And that means that all the events of history are accounted for. I mean, you're probably like me. You can't help but take your phone and click on your news app, and all it just looks like is that the whole world is imploding. It looks like there's just one chaotic, distressing event after another. I mean, yesterday I clicked on BBC News, and there's nothing but people swimming in the president's pool in Sri Lanka. I mean, anybody else see that? They're just sitting there having, you know, it looks like my kids. They got their floaties. They're having a party. No thought to what's coming next. That's not chaos. That's part of the will and word of God. That's accounted for. It's all moving toward this moment that's written here in verse 2, when all history is going to culminate in a moment when those who are asleep in the dust of the earth are going to rise. At that time, at that moment, you're going to rise too. Just let that sink in for a second. You will pass and you will rise. And at that moment, you are going to enter an eternal destiny, permanent, eternal. And Daniel describes it either as eternal life or something that we'll summarize as eternal death. One of those two is coming. It's a fact. It's history. Everything's moving towards this moment. The resurrection is coming. 80 years ago, in Sydney, Australia, there lived a man named Arthur Stace. Arthur was an Australian soldier, and I'm just going to say a lost soul. So he was drinking away his life in his youth. That's what he would say. I was just drinking my life away. And I'm living aimlessly, and I'm drinking my life away simply because I have no purpose and I got no hope. But then, Arthur Stace heard what you just heard. He heard the exact same thing that you heard. That the resurrection is coming, all are going to rise, and some are going to eternal life, some are going to eternal death. He heard that news. He heard that gospel, and it sunk deep into his ears, deep into his heart. And from that day on, Arthur Stace became known as Mr. Eternity. Well, I don't get that, Reverend. How do you go from like hearing that message to getting the nickname Mr. Eternity? Well, because this is what Arthur Stace did for the rest of his life. For 35 years, he took a piece of chalk and he would go throughout the places that people walked, the places that people lived. I mean, it would be like writing it on the sidewalk of 22nd Street. I don't know how many times I walk around that path, but the places that people go, writing it on doorposts and public places, you know, you can see what I'm saying, where you stop and where you think. And he took this yellow chalk and he wrote in this brilliant calligraphy the word eternity. That's what he wrote. Eternity. And everybody knew it was the work of Arthur Space. Eternity. That was the way that Arthur Space preached Christ and the kingdom to his neighbors. Eternity. Well, where do you get that? Well, from Daniel. Now, one thing that Daniel did, that Paul did, that our Lord Jesus did, that Arthur Space did, is they shortened their view of this life on purpose. They took what you've just heard and they took it into their heart, and with it, they shortened their view of this life. What do I mean by that? I mean that they compared this life to the next. First of all, they took in that what you are hearing is fact and true, that a resurrection is coming, you're going to enter a destiny. They take that, okay, that's over here, and then they take their life, and then they put those two together, and wow, this one looks really short. And all of a sudden, their perspective on life changes. All of a sudden, they're living differently. They have a new perspective. Why? Because what happens when you do that? If you take where you are and where you're going and you put those together, guess what you start to see? You start to see what matters and what doesn't. You start to see what's temporary, what's eternal. You start divesting in this world and investing in the next. That's what you do. And guess what happens when you do that? Because the people I listed, Paul, Jesus, Arthur Space, Daniel, you know what happens when you do that? When you take your next life and this one and you put it together, all of a sudden you have what you need to be comfortable being uncomfortable. I mean, can you do that? Can you live like that? Can you be comfortable being uncomfortable for the purposes of God? Can you do that? If the answer is, no, I really can't, well, this is what you do. You take the next life, you take eternity, you take the news that the kingdom of God is coming, that the resurrection is coming, and you bump that against your life and watch what it does to your perspective. Watch what it does to how you spend your time. Watch what it does to how you treat people. Watch what it does to how you organize your life. And in the Bible, when you do that, when you organize your life according to what is revealed, the Bible calls that wisdom. That's wise. And that is the proper way to respond to the news that the kingdom of God is coming, that the resurrection is coming, is to choose the path of wisdom. Now, the path of wisdom is the path that God's messenger, God's preacher in Daniel 12, holds out to Daniel. He doesn't just leave Daniel with truth, he gives him grace and help. Okay, the resurrection's coming, here's what you do, Daniel. And in the book of Daniel, the way the preacher puts it, choosing the path of wisdom is going your way. So if you have a Bible, look there at verse 9 and verse 13. What does the preacher say? Go your way, Daniel. Go your way, Daniel. He's holding out to him this path of wisdom given what he's just been told. Now, Daniel's way, of course, is his way of life. When he says, go your way, Daniel, he means choose a certain way of life. Your way is your way of life. Now, just to spell that out a little bit more. The Bible often talks about a way, and choosing the way of the wise, choosing the way of the righteous, choosing the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what exactly does that metaphor of way mean? Okay, your way is your character, your context, and your conduct. That's your way. Anytime you read the Bible and you read about a way, or when God's preacher says to Daniel and to chosen exiles, go your way, he's saying, choose a certain character, a certain context, and a certain conduct. So that message, go your way, Daniel, he's saying to Daniel, Daniel, zoom out, buddy. Who have you become? I mean, now you ask yourself these questions as I read them to you. Who have you become? What is your character? Who are you around? What is your context? Who is shaping you? And what is the result? What's your conduct? So who have you become? Your character. What is your context? Who are you around? And what is all that producing? All of that is what the Bible means by your way. You're choosing a certain way. Now, this sermon in Daniel is trying to help us choose a way that's based on what is revealed. I was blessed 3 weeks ago by Larry Walker. I'm always blessed by Larry. It had been 6 years since I seen him. I told him that was too long. So we're going to work on that. But I'm always blessed by his company and his conversation. And we got to spend some time together. And he told me a story of a young man who had come to faith in Christ. And he had led so many different young men to faith in Christ. I'm not exactly sure which one this was. But nevertheless, this was a young man that he'd been working with for a while. And the man, over the course of time, had professed faith in the Lord and a commitment to live according to the ways of Christ. And Larry asked him, so what finally opened your eyes? I mean, what did it? Because you'd heard this before, but something happened. What finally did it? And this is what that young man said. He said, the narrow way. The narrow way? He said, yes. And you know what he was talking about? He was talking about the words of Jesus in Matthew 7:13. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. This young guy, 28 years old, was watching that. He's watching how many thousands of people are taking an easy, comfortable, ridiculously foolish way to death. He saw the foolishness of that. And then he heard someone say what I'm saying to you. Go your way, Daniel. Choose a certain character and context and conduct, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. He heard that and it brought him to faith. And so for Daniel and for every other chosen exile, go your way means keep working, keep waiting, and keep walking. The way of life that the people of God must choose to live from this day forward is Daniel's way. It's the way of the wise. It's the way of Jesus Christ. It's the way of persistence. It's the way of patience. It's the slow way. It's the hard way. But guess where it's taking you? To an eternal home. And that way looks like every day waking up and keep working. And in Daniel 12:3, the work is turning people to righteousness. You wake up, you read your Bible, you pray, you think about someone, you let them know you're praying for them, you reach out to them, you keep working to turn people from the way of death to the way of life. And the preacher says, when you do that, you shine like a star in people's lives. You keep working, you keep waiting. Daniel says, probably what many of us say when we read the Bible. Verse 8, I don't understand what you just said. He says, that's okay. That's okay. But you, Daniel, you just keep walking. You go your way. You keep choosing the Lord Jesus Christ. You keep choosing the kingdom of God. You keep walking with God as a chosen exile until you reach eternity. Go your way, Daniel. And I hear that and I say, okay, that's helpful. That's a model I can follow. That's a way, that's a path I can choose. If by God's doing, if by God's providence, we are ordained to live in a moment that feels chaotic, that feels marginalized, that feels oppressive, nevertheless, it is part of that holy thread which is moving toward the moment in which the Son of Man will come, in which the clouds will part, and in which the righteous will shine like the sun and enter into the glory of their Father. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, the people of God believe that they have a treasure in the Bible. They believe that the words organized and arranged by this brother of thousands of years ago are like a treasure hidden in a field. Here is a way to live. Here is specific, concrete help to walk with God in a godless world. And so I pray that as only you can, as we move toward the memory of the Lord Jesus' death, as we move toward the Lord Jesus Christ, now I pray that you would help us choose the narrow way to keep walking, keep waiting, and keep working.